Today we turn our attention to the last chapter of 2 Timothy. We've been working our way through this book. It's at the end of Paul's ministry and at the end of Paul's life that he writes these words to Timothy. Before we get into the scripture this morning, I'd like to welcome a family that visited with us a few years ago, and they're back with us again today. I'd like for all of you to welcome Mark, Pam, and Anthony sitting up here on my right. Thank you for coming today, and God bless you. 2 Timothy chapter 4, today we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 4, and we're calling this entire chapter the last words. The last words of the Apostle Paul to young Timothy, who is the pastor and overseer of all the house churches in the major city of Ephesus at the time. 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you're able to stand with us for the reading of the Word of God, again, we're in verses 1 through 4 today. Preach the Word is the subject of our message today. Preach the Word. Starting in verse 1 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul dictates these words. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Father in heaven, we recognize that these words represent the condition, the spiritual condition of the world that we live in even today, where people have turned their ears away from the truth. And even when they do happen to hear the truth, it sounds foreign and strange to them and is, for the most part, unaccepted by them because Satan has blinded the eyes and darkened the understanding of those who do not believe. We pray that today, in our midst, the Holy Spirit will open eyes and will bring to understanding the words of the scripture that you have given to us, which Paul says later on in this very chapter is able to make you wise unto salvation. And we realize that without salvation, none of us will see you face to face. None of us will be able to spend eternity in your presence in heaven. Without salvation, we will not have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, the relationship that he came to make possible through his death, burial, and resurrection. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated again. And we're getting close to the end of 2 Timothy, but keep in mind the theme of the epistle. That helps us to really understand the words that the Apostle Paul is sharing in this letter. The theme is be strong. In Paul's latter days and the latter hours of his life, he's encouraging Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is so important, even in the day and hour in which we live. We find that theme and that edification in chapter 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus will enable Timothy and other followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, like you and I, in the 21st century. It will allow us to be faithful in the face of hardship, to be faithful in the face of adversity, to be faithful in the face of opposition, to be faithful in the face of the closing hours of time before the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Paul believed he was living in the last days. He believed that the last days would be a very short period of time. He also knew prophetically, it had been revealed to him by God, that in those last days, perilous times would come. Chapter 3, verse 1. Dangerous times, difficult times, trying times for the Christians. And the conditions of the unbelieving world would be deplorable and horrible and difficult to endure. And Paul did not foresee that there would be 2,000 years of church age in those last days. He did not understand or see or have the ability to know that the age of grace would be inserted in these last days. And so now that we have come through 2,000 years of church age and 2,000 years of last days, we believe, looking at the signs of the times, that these perilous times that Paul prophesied are here. We are in these last of the last days, and that is good news because it means the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back soon. It means that we will soon be caught up to be with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, and we're looking forward to that. In this short epistle, this short letter, it's evenly divided into four chapters, and in the first chapter, we saw the pastoral appeal. In other words, Paul was writing to Timothy, who's a pastor. Paul was an apostle, had done a lot of pastoral work in his ministry, and so he is writing from pastor to pastor and passing on the mantle of pastoral leadership and responsibility to Timothy, and he's telling Timothy to be courageous in your enthusiasm in the ministry, to be strong and be a man of good courage, the same thing that God told Joshua when he took over the leadership of the nation of Israel after the death of Moses. Be strong and of good courage. He also exhorted Timothy to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ shamelessly. It's not a shame to you to have to suffer and endure reproach and attack of blasphemers and people who were scoffers. As long as you're suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ, do it shamelessly. He encouraged him to be loyal spiritually to his duties, his responsibilities, his ministry of the preaching of the word. In other words, in this pastoral appeal of chapter 1, he's telling Timothy, make sure you finish well. Make sure you finish well. In chapter 2, he moves from the pastoral appeal to the prophetic appeal. He's advising Timothy to be strong in grace as he wears the many, many hats of pastoral responsibility. And in that chapter, he gives seven different illustrations, illustrating the different kinds of strength that Timothy, as well as you and I, as believers in the 21st century, the kind of strength that we need. Again, we sum that up by the theme, be strong, folks. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In these perilous times, in these last days, we need to be strong. In the prophetic appeal of chapter 3, Paul warned Timothy to turn away from that which is false. False teaching, false ideas, false teachers who oppose the truth, false teachers who teach things that are dividing the church and trying to conquer the cause of Christ. Turn away from that. Follow those who are true. Know the scripture. Know those who are teaching the word of God correctly. And study yourself, Timothy. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So turn away from the false. Follow those who are true. And then there's one more exhortation that Paul gives to Timothy in chapter 3 that we did not touch on. We skipped over it. In the latter part of chapter 3, he's going to tell Timothy, continue in God's word. Continue strong. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus by administering the proper handling of the word of God. What a beautiful message, what a beautiful exhortation to enter a new year with. And so I'm saving that message for January the 1st. and trust that you'll be here to hear it. But today we're going to bypass that one, and we're going to go on into chapter 4, looking at Paul's last words to Timothy and to the church. This is the personal appeal. We had the pastoral appeal, the practical appeal, the prophetic appeal, and now the personal appeal. These last words of the Apostle Paul, like I said, were penned near the end of his life. Just a matter of days or hours before Paul was taken out and beheaded. He was down in a hole, a dungeon-like hole, where he was spending the last few days of his life. The personal appeal is very personal to Timothy. If we could sum it up in just four words, he's saying to Timothy in this chapter, and we're going to see that over and over again, come and see me. Come and see me, regardless of the circumstances of your end of life days. None of us want to be alone during that time, do we? We would love to be surrounded by friends and family when it comes to going away from this world and entering into the presence of the Lord God. When we're going to breathe our last breath, it's not good to be alone. We want to be with loved ones, if possible. And Paul says to Timothy, look at chapter 4, verse 9. He says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Don't tarry, don't delay. Come quickly, because Paul knew that his execution was imminent. And then in verse 11, it says, bring Mark. Remember Mark, who had deserted the missionary team, and Paul had sent him home. Now, he says, Mark is profitable unto me. It would be encouraging for Paul to be able to see Mark one more time. So he says, bring Mark with you. Then in verse 13, he makes a special request to Timothy. He says, when you come, bring my cloak, my overcoat, my outer wearing. It's cold down where Paul is, a very bitter coldness in that dungeon-like atmosphere. And then bring my books and my parchments, my papers. Bring my cloak, my books, and my parchments. Bring them with you when you come, verse 13. And then in verse 21, come before winter. Come before winter. He wanted that cloak in case he was not executed before winter came. He needed the warmth of his cloak, but he needed more the warmth of Timothy's presence to be able to see his precious son in the faith one last time. The last words of a great person are very significant. Whether it be George Washington or Abraham Lincoln or Stonewall Jackson or whoever it might be, the last words of any great person are very significant words, because those words are a window that help us to look into the heart of that individual and understand what's going on in his heart and mind. And there are some very personal words spoken in this last chapter of the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy. In verse 6, he says, I am now ready to be offered. When it comes to the end of our life, how many of us are ready to say, I'm ready to go? I've seen the passing of many precious saints, including members of my own family. And I've been in the presence of so many when that time comes, who mention the fact, I am ready. I am ready to go home and be with the Lord. I trust that you and I will be in that same position. If the Lord tarries until the end of our days, each one of us would not be ashamed to stand before our Lord and Savior as our judge and say, I am ready. Paul says, I am ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept my faith, the faith. But sadly, in verses 10 and 11, Paul talks about a lonely death. He talks about being forsaken by the closest of his associates. And being alone as he's about to enter into eternity, he says, Demas, who had been one of his closest co-workers, one of his dearest friends, sad, sad words. Demas hath forsaken me. Forsaken is a strong word. Having loved this present world, Demas hath forsaken me and is departed into Thessalonica. Crescens, likewise, he doesn't say it, but the way it's worded, the structure of the grammar of the Greek language indicates that Crescens was another dear friend who had forsaken Paul and had departed to Galatia. Titus, he writes an epistle to Titus following this one. Titus hath forsaken me and has gone to Dalmatia. Only Luke has been the faithful servant who stayed close to Paul to the very end. Only Luke. They had a very close relationship. Alexander the coppersmith, who had opposed the ministry of the Apostle Paul and helped to put him in the position he was in of being jailed for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and accused of stirring up and causing riots, which wasn't true, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Personal words that show the heart of the Apostle Paul grieving some regrets as he goes into eternity. At my first answer, we're going to look at that word when we get down to verse 16. My first defense, my first apologia when I stand before the tribunal of judges and I'm accused of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. At my first defense, my first answer, sad words, no man stood with me. Nobody was there with Paul as he was on trial and being sentenced to be executed. No man stood with me. All men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Verse 17, notwithstanding, or we could say, however, the good news, the positive thing, the Lord stood with me. The Lord stood with me, and I guarantee you, the Lord will stand with you to the very last breath. Amen. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is with you always, even into the end of this world or the end of this age. Nevertheless, or notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. What's the theme of the epistle? Be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, out of the mouth of Satan himself, those that Satan used to accuse him and to try to betray him and to deliver him into the hands of the executor. In verse 18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You may remember when we studied the book of Ephesians not too long back. Chapter 1 was all about the spiritual blessings. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. One of the blessings, one of the spiritual blessings that you and I have been blessed with is the blessing of preservation. Our soul is going to be kept, preserved, until the day of our redemption. And so Paul was able to testify, the Lord will preserve me and you and I, hallelujah, until the coming of his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So those are some of Paul's last words to Timothy and to the church, to you and I. And in this personal appeal, Paul's last words to Timothy, they fall under three exhortations. Timothy, 2 Timothy, is full of personal exhortations, encouraging thoughts, things that Timothy and you and I should do as we approach the very end of the last days. Number one, and something that we should never forget or avoid or stop doing. Number one, preach the word. Preach the word. We're going to talk about that just a moment here. And then, Lord willing, next week, fulfill your ministry. What has God given you to do? Are you going to finish well? Are you going to do the work that God gave you to do until your last breath? And then number three, the end of chapter four, be diligent and faithful. Be faithful to the very end, dear friends. That's what God has called us to do. So three simple exhortations. We're going to take them right up to Christmas. And then Pastor Zach's going to do the Christmas morning message on the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But preach the word. Verses 1 through 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers. Now it's not the teachers that will have itching ears, but it's the people who want to hear the things that make them feel good. So much of the preaching that's done in so many liberal churches today are just words that make the people feel good. You come to church, you're such a good person, you know, God's going to bless you, prosperity gospel, you're going to be so blessed because God loves you so much, and you're not going to have any trials or problems or difficulties. And it's not true, but it satisfies the ears of the people who want to hear anything but the truth, anything but the fact that we are all sinners in need of repentance in order to be saved. So it's the hearers that have itching ears, not the teachers necessarily. And they, the teachers, shall turn away their ears from the truth, and the hearers as well, and shall be turned into fables. How many churches can you go to today where instead of a message from God's word, you hear stories and you walk out wondering, what was the message about? I mean, what was the point of those stories that we heard, fables? So coming back to this idea of preach the word, Timothy, I encourage you, these are my last words to you. It's on my heart, it's on my mind that you just keep preaching the word. It's an earnest plea. It's an exhortation, but it's more like an admonition. What's an admonition? That's a very strong command. That's almost like a command given by God himself. It's a warning. He's warning Timothy. Timothy, you're going to be attacked. You're going to be under persecution. You're going to be scoffed at. Don't stop preaching the word. No matter what people say to you or about you, or try to hinder you, how they try to hinder you in the ministry, Timothy, preach the word. The words of chapter 4, very important, not only because Paul was facing death, but even more because Paul and Timothy knew that they would be judged one day by the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1 again, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, the living, and the dead, great white throne judgment, all those who once lived will be raised and stand before God. And when their names are not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they will be cast into the lake of fire. The living, the quick, the spiritually alive will be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ. The judgment that you and I are to be concerned about, the one that we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, is the same one that Paul the Apostle and Timothy will be there at the judgment seat of Christ. We believe shortly after the rapture of the church, we're going to stand before him. Are you ready? Again, we're going to come to those powerful words of the Apostle in this chapter. I am ready. to be offered. I am ready. Are you ready to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's remember the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat, the bema seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So it would do all of us good to occasionally reflect on the fact that one day we're going to face our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and our works will be judged. Paul's main message again, and I keep repeating this for emphasis, the main message in this section is thinking about that judgment that's coming. Be faithful, be strong in the Lord, be faithful to the very end, preaching the word. So what do we mean by preaching the word? The word preach, we've said this many times before, the Greek word means to proclaim. And this is important. Listen to this definition, because we will see by definition of the word preach, the word, it's not just ministers standing behind a pulpit that Paul's referring to in use of this word. The word preach applies to every single born-again Christian. Because the word means proclaim the truth. Shout it out. Make it known. Let it be known. Pastor Zach and I were talking yesterday, and Pastor Zach brought up the fact that we no longer live in a post-Christian era in our world today, a post-Christian society. That was the thing that we talked about for the last decade or so, that, you know, being a Christian was popular. Most people at least called themselves Christian, or at least understood what Christianity was all about. If you mention the name of Jesus Christ, they know exactly who you were talking about and what historically what this Jesus Christ supposedly did, and about the cross, and they understood the emblem of the cross and what that the significance of that. But those days were fading away, and we were in a post-Christian society where it was no longer popular to be a Christian. And Christianity became scoffed at and became shameful to be a Christian. And it's gotten so bad that now we no longer live in a post-Christian society, but we live in a pre-Christian society. You say, pre-Christian? When Pastor Zach said that, I had to stop and think a minute. And then he explained himself, and I thought, you know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. We live in a world now, when you mention Jesus Christ, people say, huh? Who's that? What are you talking about? Christianity. Oh yeah, that's that radical religion that we need to steer away from, right? And so we're back at a place where people need to be completely retaught what Christianity is all about, who Jesus Christ is. Why did God send his son to this earth? What does it mean to be a sinner anyway? Why do I need salvation? What does that word mean? And we throw theological terms around in our witnessing, and people, it just goes right over their head, or as we say, in one ear, out the other ear, has no effect on their heart. And we wonder, why is witnessing so difficult? It's because we live in a pre-Christian world where they need to be taught the very basics of Christianity, the very simple truths of the Bible. So the word preach means to shout it out, friends. Let it be known. Let's be teachers in this world in which we live. The illustration Paul gave of a proclamation here is in his day, every ruler, every landowner, every magistrate, every governor, every person in political power or had any kind of influence in their society at all, they had a herald, a personal herald, someone whose job it was to go out in the street and proclaim news, to give information out and to announce it. He was commissioned by his employer. Let me ask you, have you and I been commissioned to go into the world and preach the gospel, to proclaim the gospel? Yes. Some are shaking their head. Yes, you know we have. If you go back to Matthew chapter 21 or Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says, "All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." That's the Great Commission. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Proclaim the gospel to every creature. And so the ruler commissioned his herald to make his announcements in a loud, clear voice so that everyone could hear. That, dear friend, is every Christian's responsibility. We are heralds of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are announcers, proclaimers of His truth. You say, well, then what's the difference between a proclaimer and a preacher? Or I like to use the term minister, the one that is recognized as the leader of the church, standing behind a pulpit, teaching the Word of God, preaching the Word of God. Isn't he the one doing that? Why should I have to do that? Because we're all commissioned to be proclaimers. Ministers of the Word of God, or pastors or preachers, are their responsibility is not only to proclaim, not only to announce it with a loud voice, but also to go on from that and explain it and use it to exhort the people to do the same, and then equip the saints for the work of the ministry by teaching you what you need to do and how to do it, and then encouragement. So the minister's responsibility is not just proclaim, but go and explain, exhort, and equip, and encourage. Your responsibility, if you're not a minister, if you're not a pastor of a church, your responsibility, every single one of you, is to go out into the world and shout it out, Jesus saves. Jesus has come. And let the world know who Jesus is and why you believe in Him. Timothy was to herald God's word. Preach the word, Paul says to Timothy. Shout it out. Proclaim it with the authority of heaven behind you. Nothing can take the place of the preaching of the Word of God. Why can nothing take the place of the preaching of the Word of God? Because, as we said last week, the Word of God is quick. That means it's alive. It's not just a book of paper and ink. The Word of God is alive. It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow. It affects the whole man, the whole person. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God knows what you're thinking, and He knows how to reach you where your thoughts are. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. We are bare and open before God. He sees exactly what's going on in what we call the heart. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. The eyes of Him before whom we will stand and give an account of the things that we did in our body, whether good or bad. Timothy was to be diligent and alert in using every opportunity to preach the Word of God. Again, look at verse 2. Preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Now, you and I know I have, you have probably heard preachers say that means be instant in season, out of season. That means to preach the Word when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. That's not exactly all that that means. Okay, that's part of the definition of the phrase be instant in season, out of season. But it's also carries the idea of preach the Word, several different ideas, but one is preach the Word whether you're the pastor or just one of the flock. Because the word preach here again is the word proclaim, shout it out. So whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever the situation happens to be, whether you're at home talking to family, having Thanksgiving dinner together, or whether you're out on the street and you strike up a conversation with a friend or an acquaintance or a total stranger, proclaim the truth. Let them know Jesus lives. Jesus is alive. Jesus died to save you from your sins, and so on. Proclaim the truth. From a pastoral point of view, this phrase, be instant in season, out of season, also carries the idea when you, in your regular times of preaching, you know, in your regular services, your Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night services, proclaim the truth. Let people know the truth of God and what God's Word says. But also, outside of those regular times, when special occasions arise, when you have special events in your church, or when you're invited to go speak at a banquet or a graduation ceremony for some college or high school, proclaim the truth when you have those opportunities. Be instant in season during regular times of preaching, and out of season when you have special opportunities to proclaim the truth, do it. Do it. Why? Because we're living in the last days. And perilous times have come. And people need to hear the truth. Because one day soon, and it could be before we go home and have lunch, it'll be too late for many. The Lord Jesus Christ will have come, and the church will have been caught away. The Holy Spirit will have been taken out. And tribulation will begin, and many, many, many people who have never heard the truth of the gospel will never hear the truth of the gospel, and they will perish. Proclaim the truth. And then Paul said, do it with three different elements. Use every opportunity, be diligent and alert to use every opportunity, and then in doing so, use three specific elements to bring conviction, to give warning, and to appeal to the condition, the spiritual condition of the individual. And those three words are reprove. The word reprove, we're going to get to that later on, New Year's Day, when we look back at verse 16 of chapter 3. Reprove means to bring conviction upon someone's heart by proclaiming the truth. To bring conviction. And the Holy Spirit is the one who does that, but He does that in response to the sharing of the Word of God with them. Tell someone their faults. Tell someone you're a sinner. You might say, well, boy, that's not very nice to tell somebody you're a lost sinner, and because of that you're going to hell. That's one of the kindest things you can do for someone. Because it's essential for them to understand that being lost means they need to be saved. So reprove, convict, tell someone their faults, tell someone that they're a sinner. And then rebuke, that means to tax someone with the responsibility of correcting their ways. Give them the responsibility. You're a lost sinner, you need to do something about that. What do I need to do? You need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. You need to put faith in Him. You need to rely on Him and Him alone to be your Savior. It means to rebuke, means to admonish. Remember that word, we used it earlier? Paul was admonishing Timothy to preach the Word. That's a strong warning. That's a command. That's as if God Himself was saying, make sure that you tell them that there's a responsibility to turn from their wicked ways, to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. And then exhort means to call someone near, to say, hey, come here. Let me share with you what God has done for me. To call them near, to encourage them to change. Look what God has done for me. He can do the same for you. You need the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. You need a Savior. You don't want to spend eternity in hell. You need to be saved. Encourage them. Draw them near and encourage them in a loving way. In a loving way. And then Timothy was to do those things with all long-suffering, with patience. Because in these last days of perilous times, we don't always see dramatic, immediate results, do we? It takes many times of sharing with an individual the gospel message for them to be able to respond to it. So with all long-suffering, as you're preaching, Timothy, as you're proclaiming the truth, make sure you do it with patience. Preachers don't often see immediate results, but many times we see gradual changes over a period of time. And above all else, Timothy was to preach doctrine. The last word in verse 2, doctrine that we've used so many times in 2 Timothy and in 1 Timothy, that whole package of information that's given to us in the Bible with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news that Jesus Christ came to this earth, went to Calvary, died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day, and he lives with at the right hand of God the Father in heaven right now, interceding for us, and he's coming again. The gospel message is part of the entire package of all the things that we know to be true about God. It's the central part of that package. It's the most important part of that package. So Timothy was being exhorted by Paul to proclaim the full doctrine of the Word of God. And then why? Why should Timothy have to suffer shame and scoffing? Why should Timothy have to endure hardness as a good soldier? Why should Timothy have to be faithful and strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and preach the Word? Why should he do that? Verses 3 and 4 are self-explanatory. For the time will come, and it's here, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. So, as long as people are willing to listen, proclaim the truth. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Brother Bill was talking about lust this morning in 1 John chapter 2. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And it says, the lust of the world will pass away. The lust of the world will pass away, but the truth of God will endure forever. The Word of God will endure forever. The emphasis on sound and healthy doctrine runs through all three of Paul's pastoral epistles. It's an emphasis that we certainly need in our world today. We need to teach and preach and proclaim good, sound doctrine. Doctrine that doesn't change. It's unchangeable truth in God's Word. I want to leave you this morning in closing with four questions. Four questions and then one admonition, or one exhortation, I should say. The first question, based on everything that I've said this morning, I'm talking to you as an individual now, not to the whole congregation as a whole, but to each one of you as individuals. Do you believe? I mean, when I say believe, I mean you're honestly convicted that this is true. Do you believe that we are living in the last days? A lot of Christians even are beginning to question. I'm not sure. You know, we could be here another 50, 60, 70,000 years. Dear friends, I believe Jesus could be coming today. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. I believe unless the Lord takes me home in the next few years, I think I'll be alive when Jesus comes. Amen. Do you believe it? It'll change your perspective. It'll change how you relate to the world around you. If you believe that your friends and loved ones are getting ready to perish, and go into a Christless eternity, into hell. It'll change the way you react to them and respond to them, and it will cause you to be encouraged to proclaim, to shout it out, that Jesus Christ is the Savior. Join Him today. Do you believe that we are living in the last days? Number two, do you agree that the preaching of the Word is crucial for the perilous times in which we are living? People need to hear. People need the Lord. People need salvation. Do you agree? Preaching the Word of God is crucial to the salvation of souls. Do you appreciate and hunger for the preaching of God's Word that is done by those who study to show themselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth? Do you appreciate and hunger for? You say, but I'm a Christian. I've heard that so many years. Why go to church? You know, it's hard. I'm getting old. I'd rather stay in bed for an extra hour or so. I'll just get up and turn the TV on and halfway listen to some preacher expound the Word. Isn't that good enough? Oh, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall go home hungry. No, that's not what it says. They shall be filled. Appreciate. You see, all these questions can be turned around into application. I want you to agree that the preaching of the Word is crucial for the perilous times in which we're living. I want you to agree that we need to appreciate and hunger for the preaching of the Word of God. And then finally, do you see the importance and urgency to have people come and hear the preaching of the sound Bible doctrine that God has given us in the Bible? Do you believe the song we sing, "Bring them in"? Bring them in from the fields of sin. We need to encourage people to come and hear the proclamation of the truth of God's Word. Amen. So I want you to see the importance and the urgency to invite people to come and encourage people to come and hear the preaching of sound biblical doctrine. And then finally, the exhortation that I want to give you is I want you to recall. The older we get, the harder it is to recall things. I'm not going to get off on that. We'll be here another 5 minutes. I want you to recall the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 14:23, where he said unto, where he in parable, he said, "The Lord said unto his servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in." He was talking about coming into the kingdom, into his kingdom through salvation. Go out into the highways and the hedges and compel, urge them to come in, that my house may be filled. Dear Lord Jesus, give us that sense of urgency to go out into the highways and hedges and compel the unsaved to come into the kingdom through the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there's someone here today, Lord, may the Holy Spirit use the words that we've said today to urge someone to come into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, into the kingdom of His Son, through salvation, through the grace that is given to be saved. May they realize that they are a sinner, lost, headed for eternity in a lake of fire. But through the suffering and death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the penalty for their sins has been paid. And through and only through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, they can receive the greatest gift ever given, the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're here today and you've never received that gift, I urge you, please, Please, don't delay. This afternoon could be too late. Jesus is coming soon. We don't know when. No man knows the day or the hour. But we do know because of the signs. We are living in the end of the last days. I urge you to come and invite the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior and your Lord. If you're here today and you're not sure where you will spend eternity, you're not sure that when He comes, whether you'll be taken and caught up together with the Lord or whether you'll be left behind, you're not sure. You can know for sure today. If you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you have Jesus Christ. You will receive Him into your life. And John tells us, he who has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son does not have life. This is a critical matter. Make sure you know where you will spend eternity before you leave this building today. Father, do a work that only God can do. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.